This episode brought to you by Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, you can build a wonderful website, a great portfolio, an awesome online shop, or just about anything else you want. Go try it out. Free trial without a credit card. And if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING12 at checkout and get 25% off your new account at Squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, Scott becomes full cyborg this week.
Let's play a game where Brian has to choose.
San Diego skies are filled with pot this time of year.
6 days without water or food and sleeping on a dead guy.
Paul Walker, stuff explained.
Beyonce is the most searched of all of us.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Yes, I used to use Zerowax. If they've added plastic or something that gives a better shine, I'll use it again. A shine that lasts is all I want. Plastic? Sounds good.
Well, I've got a light-colored floor, and the brand I use now makes it yellow. So if the Aerowax people add more plastic and it won't yellow, great.
I like the idea of plastic.
Introducing new Aerowax with 50% more plastic. Ladies, we heard you.
Yeah. But he's definitely naked.
He's definitely naked.
Well, he's definitely naked. The morning stream.
The Morning Stream is battle-tested bayonets, bro.
Hello, what? Good morning, everybody. Unmute your microphone, Scott. We learned this in broadcasting school. What are you doing?
I love plastic. Give me more plastic, please.
That was a time when plastic was still a super technical, awesome invention of man, and we were still in awe that we could mold things out of this seemingly space age material. And now we see it as landfill and terrible,
right?
And we'll never die. It doesn't biodegrade. And what have we done? What hath we wrought?
We don't have to cut down any trees for plastic.
That's right. We just grow more of those plastic bushes, right? Isn't that what
they
come
from?
And
when we're done with it, we can fire it off into space with the rockets.
An innocent
time. Made of plastic.
Much more interesting time. Hey, everybody. We're wrapped in plastic.
Wrapped in plastic.
And we're here to do another show. We got the TMS going here. This is the Morning Stream for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013. Man, Brian, I'm coming to you today a different guy than I was yesterday.
Really?
Because here's how it went down.
You sound the same.
Well, okay. Anyone familiar with any sort of... If you've been listening to the show for a while, let's put it that way. You were aware of the great lead-up and aftermath of the horrible eye transplant lens removal nightmare cataract surgery I had last year that really wasn't that big a deal, but I made it a huge deal.
Retinagate.
Yes, Retinagate, which occurred in 2012 in November, in fact, a year ago.
Stigmagate.
In fact,
it wasn't really a retina issue. It was like a stigmatism, right?
It was a cataract. I had a lens
cataract,
that was...
That's right, right. Yeah. Catagate.
Catagate, there you go.
Yeah.
Cataratigate.
Cataratigate, even better.
It's my favorite, I don't know what that is. That's my favorite thing that happened to me last year, I guess. So in November of last year, really, I think this week, in fact, we're like at the year anniversary, I had that thing removed and had a, not quite bionic, but a fake lens, like a super high polymer something space age
plastic
thing. Yes, I think it is actually. A form of it, put in my eye. And now I see... relatively well at a certain distance out of that eye, but need correction for distance, whatever. And it was like, good, I'm done. Doctor said, you know what? You might have another one in the other eye, but it'll probably be, 10, 15 years before we have to even think about it. I said, oh, that's great. Sounds wonderful. I guess I won't see you then because you'll be retired by then. See ya. Nice knowing everybody, right?
Right.
Walked out of there.
Okay.
Now let's jump forward to about August of this year. Nerdtacular's over. It was right around the time I got strep. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I was on those antibiotics, and I felt like my eye was getting worse during the antibiotics. And I thought,
totally remember that. And you were thinking it was...
Yeah.
Right, like a
weird reaction or something, Because you hear about those things. Have strange eye disturbances. It's a normal... It's a common side effect of antibiotic treatment. But when that was all over, it stayed, and it didn't... It got kind of worse, and then it got worse, and then... The last 30 to, 45 days, hardcore bad. It started getting real bad real quick. Mm. I am now to the point that I was just about at with the left eye last year, before the surgery. Nearly blind in the right eye, right? So, here, let's jump to current. We were supposed to have an appointment with the doctor on the 19th. That was the best they could do. They couldn't get me in any sooner. And every day we check. Is there a cancellation? Is there a cancellation? Every day. Kim called them yesterday at 10 o'clock and she goes, oh, well, look at here. We've got an opening up today at 2. This is like 10 o'clock yesterday.
Right.
Now, I was up. I had worked out. I'd done a show with you. I was feeling good. I've been eating good since Thanksgiving. I'm feeling, you know, funky fresh, right?
Right.
And then Kim calls and goes, I got a new appointment. We got to get in there. Like, oh, shit. Now I feel nervous, right?
I think Kim is the right idea.
Yeah.
If she lets you know about this way too early, she probably had this thing booked, you know, weeks ago. Yeah, but if she doesn't tell you until and makes it sound like, oh, I just got you in, then you have less time to freak out about it.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that. She knows my anxiety. She knows where I'm at. So I start getting a little nervous, but I'm like, yeah, this is the right thing. Let's go. Let's go. We got it now. I was already anxious to hurry up and get this done, and I didn't want to wait till the 19th and then wait for surgery in like January. Like, this is stupid. I want to enjoy the holidays with clear vision. So, and by the way, I'm in a weird cluster. You're either a kid born with it or you're an 80-year-old man with it, but you're rarely a dude in his early 40s with it. That's a rare thing. So, okay. They kept reminding me that yesterday. Like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, that's pretty weird. You got any family history? No. Oh, that's really weird. I'm like, quit telling me how weird it is. I'm starting to feel weird. Right?
We usually don't see too many people your young age in here.
Right. Oh, and here's another thing. If you're a lab technician and you've got me looking into one of your crazy machines doing measurements and internal eye scans, and your comment out of your mouth in the dead silence is, oh, that's strange. Don't do that.
Or at least follow it up with, oh, actually, you know, it's just, it's strange. Good. You need to heal up really quick.
They didn't do that. She goes, you are looking forward, right? I'm like, yes, I'm looking forward. I am looking forward. She goes, I probably just got a little lazy eye in that left eye. And I go, well, I know I do. Is that the problem? She goes, I'm not sure. I'm going to move this thing around. And then about 5 minutes later, she goes, Linda, can you come over here for a second? And over comes someone named Linda. And she goes, oh, that is weird. I'm like, you guys got to stop saying how weird this is. And they're looking at the other eye, the eye that was done last year, not the new one. They're looking at the old surgery eye.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it is it's a lazy eye, which is partly why it went bad first. And anyway, long and the short of it is that was uncomfortable and weird. But then I find out the reason we got the appointment at 2 is some lady in her 80s died.
Oh, geez.
And by default, you cancel those appointments.
Nice.
So that opened a nice wide hole for Scott to come in because lady died. Someone who is beloved by some family, widower man who's mourning the loss.
Because granny died.
Exactly. So I got her spot. And then we get into the thing, and this doctor's awesome. He makes me feel better when I'm just around him because he's just super professional, done this thousands of times. Only one that ever went bad on him was another lady in her 80s who got some weird old person infection, and the eye was already made of jello. He has
no luck with the elderly.
Apparently. Yeah, it's just trouble. But that's most of his patients, right? So right, it's mostly old people.
It's just a percentage issue.
I actually found out something interesting. This is the order in which you get done. If you're a kid or you have diabetes, you get in first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why that is with the diabetes.
Diabetes.
But you get in there before anybody else, and then kids, and then old people, and then me. So I'm like way down the list because I'm a otherwise healthy dude who's too young to have this happen to him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I got all kinds of listeners writing in going, I'm 28 and I've got 2 cornea implants and macular degeneration. Like, there are plenty of people with way worse things than me that are younger than me. So I don't want to be a big boob about it.
Sure. Be a big boob about it.
Especially this, because it's actually really easy. They're going to be in, they're going to be out, and I'm done. It's not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. He gets done with checking me out and says, yeah, this thing's just going to get worse. I think we need to do this. I said, okay, great. He wouldn't shake my hand, by the way, because he has a cold. So that comes in later. That comes in later. Right. So I go outside and I talk to this lady, a very nice girl, who says, I'm the scheduler for his surgeries. I'll sit you down. She goes, now, do you want to try to do it in 2014? And I'm like, ugh, 2014. She goes, now I can get you in this Wednesday. It looks like we had a patient scheduled for Wednesday, but she has passed. I'm like, oh my gosh. We got another one. Either it's the same lady or I don't know.
Right. This was going to be her follow-up appointment.
It probably was, dude.
Oh, my God.
It probably was. So she says, now I can get you in as early as Wednesday or the 18th. We can jump to the 18th. And I, for a minute, did my usual thing, which is like my scaredy boy voice in my head goes, put it off till the 18th, Scott. Put it off till the 18th. You don't have to do it now. That's still before Christmas. Blah, 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 blah. But Kim, my other voice, says, let's do it Wednesday. Come on. Let's get it done. You don't have to do it anymore. Let's get in there. Let's get it done. But right. Then my brain goes, the doctor's got a bad cold. What if he coughs into my eye hole? What if that spreads to my brain? What if I'm dead by noon? You know, like I'm thinking of all these terrible outcomes just because the guy's got a mild cold he got at Thanksgiving from an uncle or something. Anyway, bottom line is, end of story is, tomorrow I start the antibiotic drops today. And tomorrow, they'll call me tonight and tell me what time. And so I don't know what time yet. So I think there's probably still a show because I don't think it'll be early.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet, though. I'll let everybody know as soon as I hear. Okay. But assuming it's after, 10 a.m. here or whatever, I'll go in. They'll do the thing. I'll come back. I'll wear a patch for a couple of days. And by next week, I will be a normal dude again.
So and let's I'll say the appointment's better. Late enough that you're not going to miss tomorrow's show. What about Thursday? Are you going to be up for it?
I won't really know to kind of until I get there. I'll know Wednesday night, I'm sure, how that's feeling or looking. But I could probably wear a patch. I mean, right now, if I close my right eye, I'm seeing everything just fine. I may look like a pirate on the show.
Sure.
And the beauty is I won't have to wear these glasses because the left eye is surgically locked into the distance of my computer screen. And so will the right eye once it heals.
Mm.
So no more glasses on the TMS. This is the fact. You know what, folks? Watching right now, this very well could be the last day if you're watching live that I'm wearing glasses on the computer.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, tomorrow.
Well, assuming I have one tomorrow. Right. If I have one tomorrow, yes, there'll be one more day of glasses. If not, if it's early or something, then this may be the last time you can see
that's
me.
That's true. Right.
Wearing my bespectacled face, bespectacled face, or whatever.
And then you're going to wear gunners.
Yeah. I totally could. I could look like Dills trying to stream his arena run.
Right.
I don't know why. So here's the funny bit. I'm not as nervous as I was last year because there was so much unknown, but I'm still such a jackass. I'm still just a little bit nervous. Like, I'm like, why am I nervous? This should be like going, this is less than dental visit pain. Like, literally, I'm doing less things that hurt. They're going to put a stinging thing in my eye at first, which stings a little bit. It's just a drop that really deadens it. And then I don't feel it ever again. They give me a nice sedative before I go in there. That stuff feels great. I'm going to lay there while he talks to me and Led Zeppelin plays over the speaker system. It's not going to be a problem. Yet, here I am going, but it's my eyeball.
Yes.
I'm going to catastrophize this. What if it pops out and ends up in my mouth for a minute and he does the 5-second rule and puts it back in my head?
It's a valid thing. I mean, your concerns are not without merit.
Yeah. But so if I had to go my whole life with one eye, though, I could probably pull it off. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though it's a crappy left eye.
Look like the governor.
And he's, oh, geez.
Governor Johnson.
Except, wait, who poked his eye out? I forget.
Michonne did. Yeah, I think Michonne took his eye. Took his eye.
Did that happen in the books, too, or just the show? Or you didn't read the comics.
I did read the comics.
Oh, you did. What, do you remember how? Was it different? Did someone else take his eye, or was it already gone when we met him?
For some reason, I thought it was already... No. He,
I don't remember now.
I don't remember now either. For some reason, I can only visualize him with the eye patch in the comics.
He did. He did in the show when she was holding her prisoner. Got that.
Yeah.
Lost it in a boss fight. They did a flashback during the... I'm talking about the comic, Dingleberries. Yeah. Non-Tron has it right. I remember
right,
that
yes.
It's like her little revenge move.
Right.
Okay. Spoilers.
That's right.
Yeah. If you plan on reading the comics, it's sort of, I guess, not really, whatever.
They follow a lot of things. I mean, there was a scene in, and I won't say what it was, a scene in Sunday Night's show that was exactly how I remember the comic panel looking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if it's a very iconic moment in that scene.
Torture-y
kind of thing. Is it?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Is it a scene where Michonne rides a unicycle with a pug
damn
in the
it,
front
spoilers!
Basket? Oh, okay, shoot.
It's the clown scene with the
oh, the famous clown scene.
The clown scenes where they're all getting out of the Volkswagen and the music's playing.
I'm glad they tried to match that up because that's a very important comic moment, and I'm really glad to hear they incorporated that.
Yes.
Fake
just
spoilers.
Like in the comics.
Fake spoilers. I like it. It's my new Twitter account I'm going to start.
Fake spoilers?
Fake spoilers, yeah.
Nice.
It's actually not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
So anyway, my eye's coming out. It's a Christmas miracle. Everyone gather around and enjoy. And it's going to be interesting because my whole... So people who think I'm getting new eyes, I'm going to be able to see perfectly now. That's not the case. I will have locked vision at where my eye, where left eye is now. And that'll be great for art, computer, podcasting. Like my immediate world is going to become immediately clearer to me. And on both eyes, no glasses anymore at that range. However, driving, movies, anything where I got to have some distance, glasses. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I've had those my whole life, so I don't care. It's all good. All right, Brian, I got a game for you.
Lay it on me.
We're going to tear through this because we're a little bit limited on time. And because I'm lazy, we're going to use this theme again. All right.
Generic game music.
Indeed. And I'm going to call this game... What would Brian take with him?
Oh, okay.
That's what would Brian take with him?
What would Brian take with him?
Because we had this little, my kids and I had this conversation the other day, and I thought it'd be fun to play with you. So I'm going to give you categories, and you have to tell me which of the things in that category you're going to take with you. And you have to, I'm not going to give you multiple choice here. It's strictly a category, and then you have to say, oh, well.
Sure.
I would take this, all right?
Sure, sure.
And this is rapid fire style, so you can't pause too
much. Take candle.
Yeah, take candle. No take candle.
Don't take candle.
Of all the fast food restaurants, if you could only have one ever again, mm-hmm. what one do you take?
Ooh.
This is an island.
I would say Taco Bell. I would take a Taco Bell.
Wow.
And what's funny about that is really Taco Bell, all their food is the same 8 ingredients mm-hmm. rearranged in a different order yep. and sometimes fried, sometimes steamed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
Why you throw a hard shell in there versus a soft one, but really it's the same stuff.
I like to think that they still have the same standard, the food preparation that they had when I worked there,
yeah.
even though I know from photo evidence recently on the internet that at least in one case they don't.
Yeah, you do like to think that, right? Because when you were there, it was pretty tight ship.
Yeah, I mean, we got a bag of fresh lettuce. I mean, I guess how fresh could it be? But it was still crisp lettuce. It wasn't like... you know, soggy, wilty crap. And I got in there every Saturday morning. I did all the frying for the week. So you knew that the shells that you got were no more than a couple of days old.
The Ibbot touch. Okay.
I'm good with that. So greasy those days, man.
No, I'm not too.
I was a walking.
And you'd come home just smelling like it.
Reeking. Yes,
when
exactly.
I worked at Chi-Chi's. Nobody wanted to be near me. All right.
That polyester uniform could stand up by itself too after a day of frying.
All right. Seinfeld episode.
Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think the contest.
All right. Fair enough. You're going to be haunted the rest of your days. Imagine being on that desert island listening to nothing but a masturbation joke repeating
that's
in your
right.
head all the time.
Over and over and over. I don't know. There's still just something really funny about that.
That's a good one. Horror movie.
Angel Heart.
Oh, jeez.
That's my go-to... You know, that's the
shotgun and the
hoo-ha. I discovered, God, it's you go right there. It's like
that's the only thing I can think of when I think of that movie. That's
you got to watch that for Film Sack. As soon as it's available, as soon as it's streaming, I'm calling an Audible and we're watching Angel Heart.
Use code audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
It's so good. And, you know, I noticed things I haven't watched in years, but I remember noticing new things every time I watched it, like new pieces of symbolism and things like that.
Yeah. Well, if you want your post-Cosby Kid fix, there's your place to get it. All right. I did that one. Video game. Only video game you can take with you.
One video game.
One game.
Jeez. That I'm playing forever.
Yep. You're playing it forever. I mean, the easy answer out there, I know people are saying WoW, but what would be Brian's?
Yeah, I mean, WoW is pretty... I mean, would I get expansions?
Yeah, you have to assume that the game would be the same kind of game it is today in that it's getting updated all the time, or it isn't. Or...
Oh, well, then that does make it easy, the World of Warcraft, okay. Only because of the expansions. Like, mm-hmm. if I were to say Bioshock Infinite, great, and number two, I'd finally finish that game. Yeah. But without right. any other distractions in life.
Yeah.
But knowing that I'd consistently get updates.
Yeah, because in Bioshock, you can only kill Benjamin Franklin so many times before
right, exactly.
you're a little bit tired of it.
Exactly. If expansions are not part of the deal, Diablo 3 might be a consideration because it is always different every time
yep.
you
just kind of grind through it. Yep. Yeah. Yep. 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 All right. Fair enough. Pet. The only pet you can tank.
Like one of my existing pets or the only type of pet?
Only kind of pet or one of your existing. It's up to you. And it could live, the standard lifetime, but let's say it resets and starts over. You got 12, 13 years with it.
Just making sure my other dog isn't down here. I would take Daisy, the German Shepherd Sharpei mix.
Would the other dog know what you're talking about? I love the idea that it would.
She's an idiot.
Oh, perfect.
I have to yell at her to not eat rabbit poop out of the backyard.
Oh, of course.
Like, I have to tell her not to do that.
Yeah.
Well, some like, of them... like she understands. Who's the idiot?
Yeah.
The guy who's telling his dog not to eat rabbit poop?
Or the dog eating the rabbit poop.
Or the dog eating the rabbit poop, huh?
Only one. You only have one beer. What do you take?
Beer. Guinness.
Guinness. Perfect. Mm-hmm. How about soda?
Only one soda? Dr. Pepper.
All right. Headache medication.
Advil, because that's pretty much all we take here.
All right. Perfect. Golden Girl.
Only one Golden Girl.
One Jeez. Golden Girl is all you get.
I think Betty White.
Betty
I think
White.
I think B. Arthur would get really annoying, as would Rue McClanahan, and I can't remember the fourth one. So Betty White.
All right, fair enough.
Because
I know.
You look at old Betty White, by the way.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. You look at because right now we have old Betty White.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sure. If you look back at old episodes of Match Game or actually Password when she was a little younger,
she's a cutie.
She was cute, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would she reset also like the dog?
No, she does not reset like the dog. No. And just like the dog, don't say it too loud or Rue McClanahan will hear you. Meat.
That's still getting, that's right. Meat. Pulled pork.
Perfect.
Like specific.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, pork ribs, pulled pork.
Right.
Pork products.
Pork products. Fine, that'll count. You can do that. Let's say it's all pork. And you can have bacon, you can have ham.
Exactly. But you cannot go wrong. My God, it's like the, it's like.
Is Christmas. It true that pigs will kill you if you don't cook them right? Like there's a thing.
They get really angry.
Well, yeah. They're naturally poisonous or something. Isn't that the case? It's like rhubarb. Really? Yeah. Something about it. Yeah. Really? Do I have that wrong? I don't actually. Oh, they're saying in the chat.
Trichinosis. Oh, trichinosis. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, beef will kill you if you don't cook it right because it's. You get E. coli or salmonella.
You don't cook that beef. It's.
Chicken. Chicken gives you. Which one is it? Chicken gives you salmonella?
Yeah. Isn't it right? Chicken, bird. Yeah. Fowl food does.
Fowl.
Yeah. Oh, geez. All that sounds terrible.
Cook the avian flu out of it, too.
I'm going to eat nothing but white bread before the surgery tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. It's tomorrow. All right. Anyway. The surgeries freaks me out. final two. Song stuck in your head. It's on repeat. There's nothing you can do about it. So you get to pick which one it is.
I can't think of anything worse. And it makes me, you know, it makes me not want to pick a favorite song because I'd hate to have that ruined for me because it would be in my head all the time.
Yep.
That's why for the longest time my ringtone was We Built This City on Rock and Roll. Because it's like, no matter how many times I hear this, I'm not going to hate it anymore. Whereas if I put a favorite song in here, I will start to hate it.
Yeah.
Kind
of like radio's doing to that Lord song right now. They're ruining it. They're destroying it. It's too much, man.
Inagata De Vida, the long version by Iron Butterfly.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, finally. What cover? If you could only take one cover song with you, what
one
do you
cover
take?
Song. I think it would be it'd be the one that I call my favorite, which is Jason Faulkner's "Both Sides Now." That's the one that I consider to be my favorite cover.
Wow, look at you right here!
You had that queued up.
I knew you were going to pick it.
Yes.
Well, I had a feeling. We didn't plan this ahead of time, folks.
A second choice, and not because it's one of my favorites, because it's up there, but it's certainly not like in my top 10 would be Lily Allen's cover of Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because I'm gonna be stuck on an island. That seems like a good thing to be stuck on an island with.
All right. What if you're stuck in a...
Love dungeon.
All right, never mind. congratulations, you've passed.
That's why he left.
Yes, indeed. All right, you passed. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
Way to go. I always liked stuff like that.
This is a so much better decision game than lose a testicle in a gym accident or eat some more dried fish.
Right. Which, by the way, which would you pick out of those two? Dried fish or testicle?
Between those two, I'd eat dried fish only because of the my clothes wouldn't fit right anymore.
My nickname for my left testicle is dried fish. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Quest Foundry. Create, share, buy, and sell quests for pen and paper RPGs right in your browser. Score alpha access and help crowdfund its design by visiting questfoundry.com/TMS.
Sounds good to me. Daryl, you there?
I am.
Speaking of dried fish, good to have you back on, man. How's it going?
He's happy. He didn't have to eat any dried fish.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't. Lucky guy.
No, I was lucky.
Daryl, do you have that? You have the M80 there? The M150?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's got the upgrade.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, hang on to that because we're going to try that nightmare today. We'll see how it goes. It scares me, I think, for the same reasons. I don't like the medicinal quality of the bottling.
Right. Looks like, Dr. Martin's skin tonic.
That's right. Take this 4 times a day. You'll never get the iron lung or whatever the hell they called it. What was it called? Not the iron lung. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
They had tuberculosis, right?
The shin splints.
Yeah, the shin splints go away in 3 doses or less. They're on to me. Gotta go. Yeah. That's how those guys live.
Right.
Daryl, it's good to have you on. We're going to talk Star Trek trivia. Before I do that, another little note. I'm watching MI5, right? This is what I do when I'm obsessed with the show. I talk about it on the show a little bit. And I'm watching MI5, Spooks in the UK. And I'm on season 2, episode 1. And guess who shows up as a double agent? None other than Dr. Julian Bashir of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, really?
And he is really, really freaking good. This is what I've noticed about that actor. What's his name? Namir Shimagabwe, whatever it is. It's not it at all. Someone in the chat. Alexander Siddig, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great.
I'm going to do the long form one.
He is kind of terrible in DS9, I think. He's kind of the worst character, in my opinion. But I don't know if that's him or what the material is, but he is so good in every other thing I've seen him in. Children of Men, this thing, like movies and little bits and parts he'll play. He's really quite good, so I don't know why that's happening to his career, but he's fantastic outside of Star Trek, and we're all better for it. All right, Daryl, Star Trek trivia time. Got a Star Trek trivia question for you, and it goes a little something like this. Enterprise. Oh, this is the last registration question of the week.
Oh, no.
I know. It's too bad.
So upset by this.
Yeah. And by the way, none of these were these were all Thorin's questions, so direct your hatred.
Right. We can't blame Ice Storm.
No. And Ice Storm was quick to point that out yesterday.
I didn't do it. I didn't know it wasn't me.
Enterprise, the first Earthship capable of Warp 5, was commissioned in 2151 with a crew complement of 86. Enterprise was Starfleet's first long-range exploration vessel. What is the Enterprise's registry? This is the first one.
Oh. Whoa, this is easy.
Was it the NX-1701, the NX-01, the NX-47, or the NCC-1701? this seems easy to you? I guess it probably is. This seems like an easy one. I don't know. I didn't actually know it, but I knew Daryl would.
Anyone would know it, it would be him.
Yeah.
Right?
Speaking of Daryl Wood.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's try. Let's try this bottle of M150.
Yes.
Brian read about it earlier. It's a Taiwanese energy drink, the most popular, right?
Thailand, yes.
Thailand, sorry.
The most popular energy drink from the Osotspa company in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there are other energy drinks.
And remind me what the language on the front said. It had some kind of encouragement.
Oh, sacrifice, courage, and regret. I can't remember what that one was.
I hope it's not regret. Sacrifice, courage, and regret.
Those are the 3 stages of drinking M150.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Anyway, it's a weird thing to put on your bottle. It made me more nervous to hear that that's what that says. And there is no English on here at all other than the M and the 150.
Right.
There's nothing
else. It's got a sheriff's badge. Doesn't that mean danger, poison?
Probably.
No, I think it just means sheriff.
Deadwood presents M. All right, so here we go. I'm going to crack this
Suzanne
open.
Suzanne Summers.
I'm terrified. Who was this, by the way, that sent us this? I don't remember now.
Oh, shoot. It's been a while, so I can't remember, and I'm sorry. Oh. Whoever out there. Would you smell it?
Cough syrupy.
Oh, no. That's what I feared.
Yeah, smell that. Wow. That's overwhelming.
Oh, well, it's not that bad. Well, no, oh, yeah, like maybe it is.
No, it smells like Red Bull.
It's like my mom giving me something terrible when I was sick when I was younger.
Do you want to drink it off of a spoon?
Oh, I kind of feels like I should. Okay, I'm really scared.
Look
about
inside
this.
The bottle cap. Is there a number inside the bottle cap?
Oh, oh yeah, 29.
33. Oh, mine's a 13.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Mine's 33. Maybe if you collect all 100, you get a free bottle of this.
Yeah, I'd bury you with it because you drank so many of these. So I presume this is really concentrated, heavy-duty, caffeinated something, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to sip it. I'm just barely get a taste because I'm terrified of this thing.
Robitussin.
Oh. I don't like that one bit.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wrong. That's what's wrong with Thailand. That's your problem right there. Ooh,
yeah, it is very medicinal.
It's the stuff that they flavor cough syrup with. Super concentrated, though.
Yeah,
without the medicine.
Yeah,
medicine would make this better.
Yeah, without any actual help.
This is the flavor they use to cover up the bad flavor in medicine.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah.
They do encourage throwing your litter in a garbage can on the side. I feel like that should be a given now.
Given.
Yeah, do we still have to tell people to do that? Do they not know? Maybe in Thailand they don't. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Okay, well, I'm done with that.
It's got a cartoony flavor, like you're going to turn into a bubbly, happy kitty Japan cartoon if you drink too much of it.
Like you're suddenly going to burst into bright lights and it's like the intro to the gem cartoon or something. All right. Well, there we've done it. We've taken our shots and fantastic. Brian, you can drink the whole thing.
No. I put the rest of it over there. It's going to sit happily, on the edge of the table there where probably Tristan will drink it later.
If you drink it all, you know what would come out?
Your butt.
That's what
I'm sure it would.
All right. Let's get to, back to the question. But before that, a birthday. Do we got anybody having a birthday celebrating today?
Oh, yes. That would be Joseph Gatt. He's 39 today. He was the science officer 0718 in Star Trek Into Darkness. He was that albino bald guy.
Oh, I know the one. Okay. Sweet.
That albino bald guy.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like albino bald guys. As albino bald guys go, he's pretty good. Great. That's all white with pink eyes, right? Is that how that works? If you're an albino?
Okay. Yes. If you're a rabbit, yeah.
Okay. But people, how do they turn out? Do they have...
They still have really, really light skin and...
They have pink
eyes?
Don't
they have pink eyes? I could have sworn...
Been a while since I've seen Powder.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Powder Kid an albino? Wasn't that the deal?
He was, yeah.
He was getting chased by Bishop in the field and then he exploded. Remember that?
And then he landed in Phenomenon.
Yeah. And then Ted Danson's wife was all sad or something. I don't know what happened there. All right, so let's get back to the core of the meeting here, what we brought you all around the table for, which is the question at hand, which is this, the Enterprise, the first ship, the one that pooped out at Warp 5 in the commission in 2151. Which designation was it? NX-1701, the NX-01, the NX-47, or the NCC-1701? What say you?
Well, I might be being tricked here because it seems really obvious. It's like I'm being fed a worm on a hook or something here. I guess I'll just have to bite it because I have no way to avoid it.
Okay. No. Can I get that one, Ice Worm?
His work is cut out for him today.
Yeah.
The naked one from Film Sack.
But he's definitely naked.
He's definitely naked.
Well, he's definitely naked.
That's pretty good. I don't know. We were arguing as to why the Terminators needed to be naked. when they showed up, or more importantly, why they had to be anatomically correct and why they had to have wieners.
Right.
We had a whole conversation about how, well, you never actually see his wiener. And I'm like, well, that's because it's a PG-13 or rated R movie. They're not going to show a dude's full frontal wiener. Anyway.
Right. I mean, if you're going to make skin, why not make a uniform?
Yes.
Out of the same material. Exactly.
Tight-fitting skin uniform. Why not? Anyway, Terminator has a lot of plot holes that you just don't want to think about.
He's definitely naked.
Yeah, he's definitely naked. Daryl, so what do you say? What do you think?
Well, I'll just do what I said, and I'll pick NX-01.
NX-01? NX-01, you say?
NX-01?
Yeah. All right. Let's see if he's right. Oh.
Congratulations! Yeah, he's right. You're a winner.
Nice job. It is the that one. Here's a clip of Archer. This is TV's Quantum Leaper, Archer, mm-hmm. getting upset with the Vulcans. And you thought McCoy had a bad attitude towards Spock. So here you go.
The Klingons have demanded that we return Klang immediately.
Admiral.
We may need to defer to their judgment.
We've been deferring to their judgment for 100 years.
John.
How much longer?
Until you've proven you're ready.
Ready to what?
To look beyond your provincial attitudes and your volatile nature.
Volatile? You have no idea how much I'm restraining myself from knocking you on your ass.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm a lady in the 50s now. That's basically the tagline for all of Quantum Leap. Oh, boy. I'm a lady in the 50s now.
I'm a lady in the 50s now.
Yep. Good stuff. I just watched that episode. It was, you know what? That show gets a bad rap. I think it's better than people think. It has kind of an identity problem, but I think it was great. Mm-hmm.
You're talking Quantum Leap, or you're talking Enterprise?
Enterprise. And here's the thing: the only real problem with Enterprise was season 4 was poo, because they'd kind of given up at that point. But also, that intro is just the worst thing ever made, ever, and that ruins it every time you watch it. It's like, ugh. It's been a long road. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what are we doing?
See, what you do is you just go in and you substitute the Scott Fletcher version.
Yeah.
Play it over the credits and then turn the regular music back up.
Long road. I love how he does it.
Yes.
All right. Daryl, good job. You are perfect week so far. 2 out of 4. We got 2 more to go, hopefully, depending on how the eye thing goes. We'll keep you informed. But way to go so far. It's fantastic. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, the Trek Nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, let's play a little game you like to call what?
Today I call it. Is a Star Trek star system or a feminine hygiene cream?
Wow. I don't think I have a theme. Here. That seems appropriate to me for some reason.
Flying Bluff 3 towards the Massengill system.
That's right. All right, go for the Massengills. The Massengills have boarded, Captain. All right.
Vagra.
Phaedra?
Vagra with a V.
Oh, Vagra.
Vagra. I think that's I think that's Star Trek.
I'm going to say that does sound Star Trek. I'll go the other way just to be contrary.
Well, Tasha Yar died on Vagra 2, so it's a Star Trek thing.
Oh, I went the wrong way.
I think they would have pronounced it differently if it was a feminine hygiene cream.
Vagra. Would it be Vagra?
Or Vadra.
Vadra. Oh, vagina, you're still such a funny word. We love you. Oh, that's the news.
It's the news, and it's brought to you also. Should it be brought to them by the same people?
Oh, I don't know. Did we put 2 people twice? Yeah. Oh, we did. You know what? Okay. No, tell us what's on film Coverville this week. What are you planning on?
Oh, Coverville this week? I have absolutely no idea.
All right. What are we doing on? Let's see.
Coming off of our Beatles Thanksgiving, and mm-hmm. it'll be more stuff with the things and the covers in the place.
All right. How about, it's also brought to you by me offering the receptionist at the doctor's office yesterday to keep my old lens when it comes out. And she said, it's the thought that counts. So that was pretty weird.
That was a weird response.
Well,
because
she says, she goes, you owe me one. And I said, oh, why is that? And she goes, because I got you that appointment. And I said, oh, yeah, well, I really appreciate it. I'll tell you what, you can have my old lens when it comes out.
Oh, I thought you were saying, you were telling her that she could keep it.
Yeah, she could.
I thought
keep
you
it.
Were asking if you could keep it.
Oh, no,
it.
I don't want it. No, no, no.
Really? You don't want to keep it in a little jar? Kinda, like a Viking lens?
Should I maybe?
On
I don't
a
know.
Shelf?
Should I hang on to it?
eBay.
All right, I get a little micro pen, sign it.
That's right.
Scott used to look through this. Ah, gross. 262 pounds of pot.
Wow.
Ganja. Mary Jane. Marijuana. I can't think of any more. What else is there? Weed.
Weed. Spleef.
Spleef. Dope.
Grass.
Grass. The basis for Cheech Marin's career.
Mary Jane.
Fell joint. Out of the sky in San Diego. Bird?
Wow, herb.
Oh, he said bird. I'm like, bird. Give me some bird.
Sweet leaf.
Sweet leaf? Hey.
Yeah.
It's the sweet leaf.
It's the Black Sabbath, right? Yeah, Black Sabbath.
Isn't it also something on Lord of the Rings? Somebody's too into the sweet leaf?
Oh, I don't know. That's what they wrap their bread in.
Maybe that was it. Anyway, by the way, that bread never worked. That bread was hard as a rock every time they pull it out.
Mr. Frodo, I did not eat the bread.
I don't mean to, Mr. Frodo. But the marijuana they allegedly doped to deliver won't be getting anyone high. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection people found that more than 260 pounds of marijuana bundled tightly together in San Diego last Monday. They found this stuff dropped from the sky and arrested two men who allegedly showed up to claim the prize. This according to the NBA Bay Area report. NBA, did I say?
Well, instead of ABC Bay Area,
I think I've said. Well, it's NBC, so I'm not too far off. But I think
you're thinking it might have sounded like Pig Latin, NBC Bay Area.
NBC Bay. Oh yeah. See, help me explain that away.
Sure.
But when that happened, this should have happened right here. Here in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah, John Tesh.
Yeah, John Tesh, dude. That guy. Look at him. He doesn't get the credit he deserves for incredible sports theme he created. Anyways, where was I? Oh, yeah. So pot. Bunch of pot fell from the sky. This in ultralight air cap coming from Mexico. Of course it was. Dropped the massive payload, which was tied to a large metal cage used to hold cargo in a field near Brownfield Airport. The Office of Air and Marine tackled the plane. Tackled? Sorry. Tracked the plane. Can't wait for that new eyeball. And cross the border. According to a Raw story, I assume that's a site or something.
I'm sure, yeah.
The plane crossed at 4:15 a.m. And, well, they're early risers there, the pot trade.
Well, yeah, you gotta.
I guess.
The early bird catch drops the pot or something like that.
They dropped 10 heavy bundles before escaping back across the border.
Whoops.
Andale, andale, they said. Richard.
I like the fact they came up to show. Hey, did anyone turn in, where's your lost and found? Anyone turn in a big metal cage with about 260 tightly bound bucks?
Yeah, no, okay. I'm going home then. Richard Coaster survived, this is a weird story, survived 6 days without food or water, trapped in a car wreck on top of a dead friend.
Ooh.
Colorado man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Local story, man. I thought of you when I heard it.
Colorado man.
Very good. What's his power? What's he doing?
Able to smoke pot legally and can't remember the rest of the story. Excelsior.
Excellent. Perfect. I want him on my super team. The Colorado man survived nearly a week in a mountainous area filled with no food or water and was trapped in a car wreck laying atop his dead friend. Richard Coaster, age 36, was riding in the car with his friend, Ronald Lee Moore. Why does that sound familiar? Ron Moore. Yeah, Ron Moore. From Star Trek
Ron
fame.
Moore, yeah.
BSG. Right. Age 59 on a trip to Cripple Creek when Moore, who was driving, suffered a medical emergency and caused the truck to roll off the highway into a 30-foot ravine. He was killed in the crash, and Coaster survived, but he could not move. He was laying on top of him for 6 days and nights. Oh man. Oh, man. No idea he was with me when I woke up. He told ABC that that and a couple of other things kept me alive. He kept me a little warmer for a few extra days, he says.
Oh, jeez.
Where was this? Do you know this area?
Yeah, I do know Cripple Creek.
Is it cold?
So, yeah. Well, it's in the mountains. So it's basically from Colorado Springs, if you head down the canyon going west, it's Cripple Creek is, you know, maybe, God, I want to say it's like an hour, maybe an hour and a half west of Colorado Springs, and there's all, you know, it's windy road that you can certainly disappear in. It's also one of the gambling towns. Cripple Creek along with Black Hawk and Central City are the three big gambling towns here. And that one's way south. The other two are up here by me.
Are those Indian casinos?
No, they're I don't know who. I mean, they're just Colorado casinos, but they're not. Yeah, they're not tied to any reservations or anything.
Welcome to the Straight Arrow.
All right. Hey, Hello Fresh is sponsoring the show. Hello.
Buffet opens at 10.
Yeah. You want some free chips? You have to get the presidential suite. Thank you for coming.
HelloFresh.com sponsoring the program today. HelloFresh.com. Oh, they make fun out of cooking again. Once again, you can cook and have fun at the same time, Brian. It's no longer the drudgery it used to be, and here's how it works. Their chefs make these amazing recipes. You pick what you like out of those recipes. You go, oh, I like that one. They send you the exact farm-fresh ingredients, the tomatoes, the carrots, the whatever it is, and you have everything you need, and they deliver it right to your door. Then you crack that stuff open, and in 30 minutes or less, you have a complete meal. It's amazing.
Love that.
Available
love
in the
it.
States, available in the UK, Netherlands, Germany, Australia, all over the place. Quick note, the colleague that they mentioned that lives in Germany is actually not from Germany, but lives there currently. So correction.
Oh, okay.
He is not the German that I made him out to be. Anyway, they're awesome, and these guys will take good care of you. They'll make you a good deal. How about 50% off for first-time customers? That's right. Morningstream 50 for 50% off over there at HelloFresh.com. Gom? Com. It's com. It's the new Gom, the G-O-M domain. They just launched.
Dot gom.
Dot gom. Go there now. HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
All right. It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
The word moist. Moist, moist, moist. Because I think it's hilarious. The brand will say whatever I want for only $10.
Yep. That's right. You too can do that. So frogpants.com/TMS, and you can sign up right there.
So Dan's Modern Life in the Tadpole says that this was the day in 1994 that the PlayStation came out. I could have sworn it was like September.
I thought it was. It wasn't 94, was it? I want to say it was 95 or 6. I think he's got the wrong year. Hold on.
Because I think it was.
PS1.
It was definitely before Tristan was born, 97. Oh, was it 97?
Maybe it was 97. I know it was.
Wait. For the 1994 console, see PlayStation console. So that must be what we're.
PlayStation, here you go. That was. I know in Japan it launched in
Japan,
94.
December 3rd, 1994. Here we go. Yeah. So in Japan it was 94, December 3rd. In North America, September 9th, 1995.
Yeah,
so.
Like a year later. Yeah.
Yep.
That's when they used to do that. Now the PlayStation launched here first and is in
Japan.
Oh, yes.
And then, I know. That's crazy.
Really weird turn of events. Yep. Anyways,
with my Battle Arena to Shinden and Ridge Racer.
Oh my gosh. Those were so great at the time.
They were.
I don't think they hold up now.
Those big plastic jewel cases.
Yep. Oh my gosh, dude. I forgot about those. Those were so bio horrible.
Oh my God. Yeah. Big, thick plastic just for a little disc.
I did like how, when I bought the Wipeout games, you could take those and put them in your car and it would just play the soundtrack straight out of your car.
Yes. Yeah, that was cool.
They were essentially CD-ROMs and it would just jump. So there was a track one, but it was all static because that was a data track.
Right.
And then the rest of the tracks were music, which I thought was really cool at the time.
That's cool.
Drag racing, not involved in Paul Walker's fatal crash, according to investigators. They're now focusing on speed. There's no evidence, they say, that the car Paul Walker was riding in had been involved in a drag race. There were some rumors that he and some other driver were racing, and they were trying to track down who the other guy would have been in the other car. And they say that's no longer the case. They said the 2005 Carrera GT was traveling at approximately 40 to 45 miles an hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone, and the driver apparently lost control while rounding a bend where the speed limit dropped to 15. And that's what happened there. I really think it's unfortunate that this happened in a car, specifically a sports car, because there are a lot of huge dicks on the internet who are having a ball tying this to
making
the Fast
the
and Furious.
Yeah. Exactly. It's
sad. I hate that.
It's dickish. It really is dickish.
Yeah, dickish. Like Lindsay Lohanish.
Lindsay-ish. That's right. Lindsay-ish.
That's right. From yesterday. Go back and listen. Beyonce Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
Also Jay-Z's lady, right?
I'm familiar.
Wait, who's Jay-Z married to? Is it her?
Beyonce, yeah.
Okay. He's weird looking. He looks like a fish. Don't you think? He's the ugliest man working in rap /R&B today.
Oh, by far not the ugliest man working in rap.
Who's the ugliest?
Yeah, boy. I think Flava Flav is...
But he's not working in rap anymore. So we can't count him. has to be current. Give me like, you know, we're talking 50 Cent era people. Who's the ugliest? It's got to be Jay-Z.
Riff Raff is pretty ugly.
Yeah, that's true. He's pretty ugly.
Lil Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty scary too. Okay.
See, now Snoop Dogg though, I would say there's an attraction there to him. Yep. Yeah.
I agree. I've always said this about Snoop.
It's strong jaw.
Mhm. Snoop. He owns it.
Snoopy Poop Dog.
Wait, I have that. You want to hear that? I have
that.
I
want to hear that. Sure.
Okay, hold on. Let's see right here.
Snoopy Poop Dog.
Best thing about that is that guy was real. That guy meant it.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's his nick. That's his. I'm going to be funny about this guy's name.
Yeah, I'm going to be an old man about it.
Exactly.
Beyonce Knowles named internet search queen. Pop superstar Beyonce has seen off competition. Whatever. I don't know what that phrase means. From Kim Kardashian to be named seen off. What
has seen off competition?
Doesn't that mean fended off or pushed off or killed off?
I don't know. That seems like bad use of English.
Yeah. Thanks, economictimes.indiatimes.com. Maybe that's our problem. From Kim Kardashian to be named the internet's most searched celebrity of 2012. The singer, I guess they only get that data now toward the end of this year. Whatever. The singer has enjoyed an eventful year in which she performed at America's Super Bowl halftime show, won a Grammy Award, and kicked off a world tour. But her exploits have earned her the title the most sought-after star online, according to the search engine Bing. Bing. This isn't a Google search, but we'll find that later. Every year, Google does that as well, and we'll find out.
Meanwhile, somewhere, Cindy Margolis is saying, hey, remember me?
Yep.
Hey, I used to be the most downloaded woman in the world.
Hey, you guys.
The internet thing.
Hey, you guys. Where'd everybody go?
Back when internet was slow.
Yeah, on dial-up and stuff.
And it used to draw me from the top down over 3 minutes.
It was great. It was a GIF with 256 colors. It was a great time to be alive.
Yeah, I don't know who... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why. But here's the stuff. This stuff is so fleeting anyways.
Like, it is.
It's just so fleeting. Not all of us can be Andy Griffith, you know, and have a big, long career that it goes all the way until you look like a potato. That doesn't happen for most of us.
I sure wish the Kardashians' time would end. You know, I wish
too,
that they wouldn't be so everlasting.
Sex tape fame. Fame. Is the worst. Sex tape fame. Say sex tape fame fast.
Sex tape fame. Sex tape fame. Sex tape fame.
Sex tape fame. Sex tape fame. Sex tape fame. Okay, you're right. It's not hard. All right, that's enough of that. Squarespace.com is sponsoring the show today as well.
It's on the carpet.
Squarespace.com. If you want to make it, you're finally get your Kardashian fan site up. They'll even let you do that. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it necessarily, but. Yeah. If you're going to do it.
You could if you had to.
Yeah. And the best service to use is Squarespace. So no matter what your subject matter, no matter what kind of site you're putting together, that's a great place to do it. I know people who put their comics up there. I know people who do their photo work up there. And I know others who sell physical goods and make a storefront out of it. And there are plenty of stuff in between. Great templates to work with. Great tools overall. And they're always updating that stuff. Standards compliant. You want it to look good on a phone? No problem. It's already built in. Boom. Don't have to do anything special. Just works. 25% off your new account with the code MORNING12 at checkout. But try it first. You can do that. No credit card needed. Just try it out if you like it. MORNING12 at checkout. 25% off your new account at squarespace.com. All right, we're going to take a break, a little song, and when we come back, the Tuesday boys will be here. So, Brian, what we got here?
Sounds great. Well, let's start with a cover going out to Andy in Seattle. He emailed in, said, good morning, Bargle and Snargle. I was hoping you could play a song as a dedication to my brother Gabe. Gabe is someone who is always a big help to everyone around him, yet he never asks for recognition, and I admire him for it. My brother is my best friend and my hero. He will be moving from Seattle to Nashville for his wife's singing career in a few weeks, and I was hoping you could play a cover of the song My Hero by the Foo Fighters. I'm going to miss him so much. Love the snow globe, Andy in Seattle. Mm. So, of course, yeah, I mean, it seems like the best choice for a song, right? My Hero. Gabe is his hero, and by all means, and we've got a good version of it from the 2006 compilation, which featured a bunch of songs related to Superman, the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Here is Paramore and their cover of the Foo Fighters' My Hero.
Ooh, I love the song. All right, here it is. When we come back, all that stuff I said before and more. Stay tuned.
I regret to announce a Philco sale. Everyone knows in a sale you sell your slow movers. But some genius put our best sellers on sale. This big screen color console, automatic fine tuning, high bright color tube, Philco reliability. You'd pay a lot, right? Well, save your money. It's now on sale for under $480. I think I'm going to be sick.
This isn't a high school social, sandbaggers.
This is the morning stream. You have the right to kill it, but you do not have the right to judge it. Boom!
All right, we're back. You ever get people email you and go, Scott, what you need to do is a 12-part Christmas series for FilmSack that is a video series where you talk, do commentary on all the best 12 movies ever made for Christmas, and you need to put that up this year. It'd be so awesome. People that tell me to do work, you know?
Yes, right. Well, I do get people who say, oh, yeah, you should do a cover story on this band.
Hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, number one, there's not going to be a lot of covers of this obscure, you know, underground country funk, bluegrass, a punk band.
No. It's I just don't like it when people want me to do work. Well, it's not that. It's a weird assumption of like, I'm just this machine that you just throw a thing at me and I'll do it. I want you to make a pie. Here's a pie.
Right. Yeah. I do like the requests that come in. I do, and I'm not gonna
requests are
I'm
good.
Not gonna turn anybody away for suggesting a cover story. But there are certain ones where they phrase it as, oh, it's actually better is the ones where that so and so cover story you did was great. You should have played X.
Right, those are good, right?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I actually played that song in the previous cover story I did for that band, and I like to do something different.
Yeah. Yeah, let stuff stand for what it is. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And just the idea that would, there's no work at all in me doing a 12-part series on the best Christmas movies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's no work in that. I don't have anything else going on.
Yes, yeah, so you have to watch 12 movies, and you have to get us together to record 12.
Oof, good Lord. You don't even know. It's ridiculous. It's
not even a FilmSack thing.
No, and then add video into that. You're talking about hours and hours and hours and hours of production.
You do it. Yeah, hey, you person writing in, you do it.
Yeah, you do it.
See how you like it.
Smarty punts. Okay. Tweaked Audio would like you to know that they're going to sponsor this next bit of stuff that we're about to do. All right?
Oh,
you know the
right.
drill. TweakedAudio.com. Go there. Get some awesome earbuds for Christmas. It's time. That time of the year. Put them in your ears and you hear things way better than you did before. They're engineered for durability. They have a lifetime warranty on everything they do. And the noise reduction is ridiculously good. Stream at checkout, 33% off. That's stream at checkout for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. All right, we're going to call Chinbeard. I'm going to assume he is around. I've not heard it to the contrary. So why not? Let's see if I can find his thing here. I think it'd be fun to play a little theme for him. And I can't find a good one, so here it is. There you go. Bill Duran, good morning. How are you? I feel like we just talked to you on Saturday. Maybe we did.
Yeah, what you should make is you should make the gun from Blade Runner.
So you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And how? So here's the funny bit. When people do this, it's a compliment, right? They're saying they want to see another really cool thing they love from you because they love what you do.
Right.
So it isn't like I'm taking offense at it. It's just there's nothing I can do. Like I can't respond and go, you know what? I should just not do anything else but the 12-part Christmas movie series.
What I like to say is, if you pay me, I will totally make that.
Exactly. That's how you're sponsored then, Scott. Terrific. Are you going to sponsor it? Here's how much it'll cost.
Yeah, it'll only cost you a couple grand, and we're there. So, yeah, it's good to hear that you're also having
we'll
to
even come to your house and do it live.
Indeed. Do it live. We'll do it live. Hey, it's guess who it is? Look, everybody, it's Bill. It's Bill Duran. It's Chin Beard. He comes on here and talks about fitness and stuff. And I always like both fitness and stuff. So, Bill, what do you got for us today? What are you doing?
My favorite big box retailer is fitness and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was a good sugar cereal until they took the sugar off. And then I wasn't interested.
Right.
Anyway.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Chin Beard, yes.
Yeah, or Chinny, because I listened to the pre-show.
Whoa, Chinny.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you like that?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all. Chin. Actually, I have a friend. Her name is Chin Chin. And when she introduces herself, she touches her chin twice.
Oh my gosh. It's
really?
That's chaos in a bottle right there.
Yep. So anyway.
Good deal. Good deal.
Okay. Well, I won't call you that anymore.
Oh, it's fine. I'm posting a link.
Yes, a link.
Posting a link. It's apparently some subway station in Russia installed a machine where if you do 30 squats in front of this machine with, I'm guessing, a Kinect sensor in it or something, it will give you a ticket for free to ride the subway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wait, Russia? Wow.
It's the words look Russian.
Yeah, that, and it says they Russian totally on do. The thing. So yeah. Look at my stereotypes crumbling. I assume Russia's nothing but mobsters, vodka made out of potato water, and ladies who want to get married in the States. Like that's and dash cams. Everybody's filming horrible acts of crime on dash cams. Who knew that they would have such a forward-thinking, progressive idea as doing this thing?
In America, you get on subway to squat.
Yeah.
In Russia, you squat to get on subway.
That's like a self-fulfilling Russian joke. It's really weird. Look how much space that takes, though. That's the shocker to me, isn't how much room they're giving.
What if somebody walks in between you and the machine as you're doing your 29th squat and it resets?
Right. So they've got a video showing very, very happy Russian people dancing in front of this thing.
Well, let's take a look here. Yeah.
cut to about halfway through the video because they do a lot of B-roll.
Yeah, they sure do. It's like, look at the sad state of the Russian video.
Squat revolution.
That's look at this guy. Exactly what it is.
This guy's got some rusty breath. You can just tell looking at him.
Wow, this guy's going fast, too.
He's into it. And that guy looked at him and went, I think I'll try this, too. Look at him.
Oh, wow. With the whole sticking out the leg. Are you looking at that guy?
This is great.
The one-legged squat man?
Yeah, look at him.
Yeah, it's a badass.
It still counts, I guess. What do you suppose the sensor is? I like to think it's a squatty, ruddy-looking ex-KGB guy behind the window there who's checking it out.
Just with a ticker, tick every time.
Notepad and a pencil.
Wow, that video's the feel-good hit of the summer, too. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
what I'm curious about this thing is, what's the impact for this thing? How practical is it? Like, will it actually have an impact on people and their fitness? Because it's 30 squats. I mean, I guess if you ride the subway every day, it would be a good thing.
Sure. It's 30 more squats than I think 90% of the people in that video would have done otherwise.
And there's a couple of them who looked at it and went, there's no way in hell I'm getting
that. My favorite part is the overweight guy standing in the background taking a picture.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Kind of had that look on his face. I'm not doing this.
I would still pay the $1.95. Yeah. The 195 rubles.
Not a problem.
These morons are going to live in their 90s.
Are they still rubles that they use over there? Is that the currency?
I don't know.
They're not Ruskies or what do they call
Ruskies.
Them?
That's exactly
Ruskies. That's four Ruskies and two rubles, please.
So I figured if we had a subway in Seattle, which we do not, but if we did, actually we have a light rail, and if I could get on the light rail, I'd be doing 30 squats. Mm-hmm. I would do it every single time.
Of course you would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I would. It would encourage me to get there a little early. I don't know if there's going to be a line for this thing. I don't want to have to wait behind the guy who's struggling with his 30 squats. Mm. It's like, no, five more. Give me a second.
Well, you'd almost have to I'm sure somebody did the math on this and said, all right, what is the potential revenue loss for pit tickets sold versus free tickets for doing the workout? But then what are we going to equate or how are we going to assign a cost to a healthy, a healthy citizenry?
Well, I think it's the marketing. You know, it's the fact that I'm sure this was all over the news and people are probably coming down there and maybe you come down there and you do it, but the two, three people that you're with don't. They still they make their money that way.
Mm. And then during rush hour, like I was saying, if there's a line for this thing, people aren't going to wait. There's 300 people rushing through there and it takes you 30 seconds to a minute to do all your squats. People aren't going to wait in line. And they're like, I got to get to work. KGB will kill me.
You know who's going to take credit for this, right? I'll tell you right now.
Putin.
Oh, yeah?
Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Yep, that's the guy. He's going to take full nice. You'd sync that right up with him, by the way. You said that exactly the same time.
Vladimir Putin.
He needs to get some good press, because lately it's been a bit of a mess for him, so maybe this is how he does it.
He should be doing squats in front of this machine with a bear carcass on his shoulders or something.
Nice.
I love that idea. Speaking of XKGB, by the way.
Yeah, your Seattle light rail, by the way, I think a lot more people would ride it if it went more than three places.
Yeah,
I know. Well, it goes, here's the thing, it goes from the airport to my house, so I don't care.
Oh, really? Oh, they've expanded it then. Okay, because
I live next to the airport.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
We have a light rail system. It's called TRAX, UTA TRAX, the Utah Transit Authority TRAX, and it now goes, it's all over the city. It has a million stops down there, but then it comes now, I want to say, as far south as almost Provo. Maybe it's not quite that. Maybe it's American Fork.
You
got
to be a lot closer to that now. We are probably
way closer. So Taylor can literally hop at her apartment up by the U. She can literally hop on TRAX across the street from her and be at the house in, you know, 20 minutes or less with all the stops even.
That's cool.
And it, because it, there's a train or there's a station right out here in front of us. So not
that's
my house.
Awesome.
But
yeah, Tristan and I rode that the first time we came out to Nerdtacular.
Yeah, it's clean and nice, isn't it?
It's really nice, really well kept, and friendly.
It's a Utah thing.
It's a friendly light rail.
You either come here and go, man, that was friendly, or you come here and go, that's creepy how friendly that is, and then you leave. Well, great. So that's good. I love when you bring these kinds of things to the show, Bill. These are fantastic. Look at the world getting back into shape and understanding the value of health in our society.
Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah.
The other thing is, again, mentioned in the pre-show, yes, I started playing Warcraft again, and yes, it's thanks to you jerks.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't us.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
It was BlizzCon, I think, was the thing that got you back into it.
Everyone there.
I blame Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Anyway.
and by the way, I haven't played in like 4 years, and I finally got to like do heroics last night.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. It's a murder train.
Yeah.
I couldn't even keep up with all these people with all their epics and their loot.
Yeah, you can get lost in that crowd pretty quick if you haven't been doing it for a while. But it's still, it's the most accessible the game of content's ever been. So you're in good shape.
So here's the thing. I now own a treadmill, which was a recent purchase, and a laptop computer.
Whoa.
Which means,
great combination.
Which means I can play World of Warcraft when I'm on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I'm going to try this week.
I wouldn't recommend raiding, but
No.
But you know, it's perfect for doing like Timeless Isle dailies, maybe not the thing where you've got to walk along the tightrope to get the chest. Maybe not so much with the treadmill, but for dailies, things where you're not really, other people don't have to rely on you.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great. It is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, that's excellent, man.
I'm going to give that a try.
I installed a brand new monitor in mine, but now I've got to install a brand new circuit board because the current one fried. I haven't been able to treadmill in over a week.
Oh, that's right. It was dead.
And the new board is supposed to arrive today, so I'm excited to...
Is that just a simple, like, pop it in kind of deal?
I think so, yeah. It looks like the board just... basically unscrew it off of the thing it's mounted on, and then the all the wires, nothing is soldered to it from other places. It's just pull this out, stick it on the new board, pull this one out, stick it on the new board. So I'm hoping it's that easy.
You're a technical
guy.
What could go wrong?
They even give me a grounding strap and some treadmill mat lube, which apparently if you don't use that a lot.
Okay, that's a good question. Should I be putting more lube on my
thing? You should be, apparently. Yeah, that's the thing. That's apparently when I talked to the treadmilldoctor.com. He said, well, you know, how old is your treadmill? And then how often do you put treadmill lube, mat lube on it? I'm like, oh, I've had it for 10 years and I've never put that on there.
Where do you put it?
I guess you're supposed to put it between the mat and the rollers.
You could really take this conversation out of context.
Yeah.
So the mat and the rollers on the underside of the mat.
On the underside of the mat.
Okay,
so
not the outside.
It basically keeps, it keeps the friction from damaging, from basically making the motor have to work extra hard.
Okay. So, all right. Here's my question for you.
Yeah, don't lube the top, people.
No!
So if you... if you this is what I believe.
Jerry
if
Lewis
Brian,
treadmill,
if Brian lubes the top, this is what happens. This would be Brian on that thing going... falling all over the place.
You ever see that video of Adam Savage running on a treadmill drunk?
Yes, it's classic.
Yeah, pretty much that, probably.
He slams into the green screen behind him and all that. Yes, it's pretty bad.
So this got me thinking, what other sort of geeky things could you do on a treadmill or on a cardio machine other than the Warcraft thing? Right. So I've been watching Highlander on Netflix. That's been my choice.
The show?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. TV shows and movies.
We just did that for Autopilot, and we really enjoyed it. I think I may end up doing that as well when I'm done with the Semi-5 thing.
Yeah, I listened to that episode. It's my favorite TV show, and this is my twice every 10 years, I watch the entire run of these.
Whoa, that's your favorite TV show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Highlander
series. There can be only one.
Wow.
I have the sword.
In a world filled with things like Breaking Bad and Battlestar Galactica, Bill Duran's favorite TV show is...
Yeah, but it was around at a very special time of my high school life.
Oh my gosh, you were in high school.
Yeah.
Think about that.
So you could also, now that everyone's got a tablet, you could be sitting on your recumbent bicycle stationary bike, you know, the one where you lean back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could like... read or browse the internet, or like if you're gonna do your waste time on Reddit, then do it while you're, you know, working out or something.
Sure, all your time wasty internety things can be done if you're on a tread or something. Exactly. Like the treadmills now have those little book holder things.
Yeah,
and just plop up your iPad and go.
Yep, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. That's great. Good stuff, Bill. Always a pleasure. Totally. It's always fun to hang out. Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com. Anything else? What else?
Let's see. This week, I'm going to the Child's Play charity auction dinner here in Seattle.
Yes.
And I got, I built one of my Kerrigan ghost rifles, and I left it at Blizzard HQ, and all of the StarCraft developers signed it.
Oh, my Lord.
It's really, really
cool. That's very
cool.
Is that getting auctioned?
That is getting auctioned off on Thursday.
That is a rough thing to part with, man. Wow.
Seattle. Oh. Come throw a bunch of money at that. I'll post some pictures of that thing on our Facebook page later today.
That's
at
cool.
facebook.com/punishedprof.
That's totally cool. How much are the tickets to get into that thing? Isn't that a big dinner expense thing?
Yeah, it's like $150.
Well, that's not bad. I thought it was like $300-$400 or something. Yeah. All right.
Apparently, if you want a whole table for you and all your friends, it's like $10,000.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
No. Well, we would have heard about it by now because we're your friends. So we would have gone with you. Well, fantastic. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time.
See you guys.
I'll look upon you with my own eyes.
See you, Chinbeard.
All right. Let's get in jury time because he's around, I think. He's green on my screen. Let's see if we can get him on the horn, as the kids like to say. Kids still say that, right? Get him on the horn? Or is that what Colonel Potter always said?
Kids don't say that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's a Potter
thing. Why don't you get him on the horn, Radar?
Radar, Walter O'Reilly. Is that his full name? Yeah, I think it was. All right, here's Walter.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Hey, it's...
penile implant.
No, it's Justin Robert Young, guys. Come on now, stop that. It's Justin Robert Young, everyone. Good morning.
Did we just do this?
Yeah, we did. It was like Saturday, man. Are you on the moon? Where are you today?
Hold on. I was trying to do these. I'm trying. I flew too close to the sun.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be treadmill? This is gonna be bad.
Big Smith?
Whoa, easy there, Chief. You sound very distant for some reason.
Yes. It sounds like you're using a room mic in the other room.
No, how's that?
Oh, much better.
Much better.
Oh, my gosh, right? Yeah. That's like day and night. It's beautiful. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Didn't we just do this? I swear we just did this.
We did just do this.
Yeah. Are you still recovering from that, or you feel good about what we're doing today?
No. Okay. No. Hey, listen. You know, me horse pooping on the internet is a renewable resource.
It is indeed. Hey, I just found out. Chat room just informed me of something. I just want to get this out before I forget. The theblaze.com. Mm-hmm. Is a Glenn Beck joint. It explains now why the comments are the most ridiculous things I've ever read. So game over.
Yeah, since it was pre-show, I didn't want to say that and talk about that because we didn't really talk about it in the actual show.
Oh, we didn't talk about it in the show, did we?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah. Their comments are caustic and toxic. It's a horrible place. I didn't enjoy it.
Caustic and toxic.
Well, when I was in there...
Like Spoonerism right there.
Because when I was in there, I was like, oh, these are interesting.
Caustic and toxic sound like two villains for the Ninja Turtles.
Totally.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Here without a Santa Claus featuring caustic and toxic.
Indeed. So, Justin, what's on your mind today? When
why are we talking about the Blaze?
I don't know.
What happened?
Oh, I was so they had somebody put up a picture of them finger drawing a picture of Morgan Freeman, and it's this incredibly detailed, amazing piece of art.
It's incredible.
Like you'd swear it was a photograph.
Yeah.
And the comments over there rival anything I've ever seen on YouTube in terms of just racist, horrible, awful things.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked by that, and I didn't understand why that. Where's that coming from? What is this about? And then I, somebody told me it's a Glenn Beck joint. I didn't know that, and not that Glenn Beck himself would condone such things. I don't know, but he does rile people up, and they tend to say stuff.
He's a riler.
He's a riler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a Charles Riley. Nelson riler.
Sure.
He's very riley.
He's a center square occasionally in his life. So anyway, that was what that was. And I don't ever want to go there again, cause that just felt like a horrible place to have your feet.
What do you think is what is the secret sauce for terrible comments? Because if you look at let's say that and YouTube, right? People, the places that have had famously terrible comments, you wouldn't necessarily say that they share a demographic, right?
Right.
And yet both people are calling the N-word like it was going out of style.
I don't know. I feel like it's maybe less tangible than I even think, but I swear it's like you make a bed and then you sleep in that bed, and whatever bed you make, that's kind of who's going to come in there with you. This is a bad analogy. I mean, back up. I'm going to start another one. If this show and if my network and if what I did as for my living was something where I cultivated a lot of anger, hatred, distrust, and that sort of thing, I would reap what I sow. I would reap. We could start now. Should we start now? Maybe now.
That's a good recipe. All right, let's start.
But that's why that.
You know what I hate?
What?
You want to know what?
What?
I can't do it.
My right eye.
Can't. Yeah.
I hate it too.
Probably.
It's coming up.
We should have set up a doc.
Yeah.
A pre-show doc.
A doc? What is this? What is this? A Twitch show? I don't want to do that. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, no. All right. Then. All right. Hold on. Take two. Let's let just Tom do the doc anyway.
Okay. Sure. Fine. So, and he'll read it as if it's not there. And he's good
at
that.
We'll call Tom. We'll say, listen, we want to get into more vile hatred on the morning stream. Problem is, none of us are really good at it.
Yeah.
You're so good at all these docs. We figure you can go ahead and set up one. And we can all populate it with things, and you can fill out where we can say vile, terrible things about them.
Perfect. Solution found, everyone. Go home. You're drunk. So here's the thing, though. You reap what you sow. You build the thing, and if you attract that kind of thing, that's the kind of output you're going to have.
Exactly.
So in a way, it's a reminder that we built a pretty awesome thing here because we seem to have attracted nice people with generally good attitudes and positive outlooks and willing to talk about differences, and we have that, and I want that. That's what I always wanted. I don't want that other thing. That other thing is terrible. Mm-hmm. That's an awful thing.
Okay. And good job, Johnson.
I'm not trying to pat myself on the ass here. I'm not.
If this were a detective serial, I would be sitting in the back of the library clapping slowly.
Would you just going
very impressive, Johnson?
Yes, yes. I can see that.
But then, how does that describe YouTube? Because YouTube is not a cult of personality. YouTube, you can be the nicest person ever.
Takes all comers. Yeah.
Well, no. Okay. Here's my theory on YouTube.
Okay.
You can find things on YouTube that are interesting, inspirational, thought provoking, and all that. But mostly what you find on YouTube, and it was established very early, is people kicking each other in the nuts, guys falling off their skateboards, and cats doing stupid shit. That's kind of the basis of YouTube's spawn.
Kind of the basis for the whole internet, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is, yeah. And so because of that, and the anonymity clause built into all internet functionality, and because of its size and its just sort of raw power to spread, it just started to fill itself with people who really liked watching people kick each other in the nuts and likes the humiliation factor that is sort of inherent in all of that. And because it's the jackass of, It's like the digital Jackass, really, is what YouTube started as.
Oh, don't blame sweet Johnny Knoxville.
I love Johnny Knoxville.
He's done nothing.
I love him. Don't get me wrong. I think he's great. In fact, I'm a huge Jackass fan. And I love fail videos. That's the other thing, is I like some of what the worst of YouTube has to offer. Sure. I like a good fail video.
I like watching cats do stupid shit on YouTube.
I do. But I don't have any desire to go in there and go, you know, here is a video of a cat falling off a piano. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. My first comment is going to be, all you N-words need to get out of Dodge.
Okay, like, number one, that I don't feel like I've ever seen a video of a cat falling off a piano where the top comment is, all you N-words need to get out of Dodge. I think this is a straw man argument you're making.
Okay, maybe. I may be exaggerating. There may be a little hyperbole in this, but I genuinely...
Although if it wouldn't be for the fact that it would require the fans of this lovely, wholesome show to be writing all you N-words need to get out of Dodge, it would really make me happy if somebody just said, nope, look, and just sent me a link, and that was the top comment on a video of a cat falling off a piano.
Yeah, I don't, the specifics are loose, I admit. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
an adorable little tabby is playing Fur Elise. Yeah. On the piano by accident, and then falls off, and there's just vile hatred on the bottom.
There are videos where they're just not innocent, but there's something going on that has nothing to do with the diatribe that is currently going on a thread below it about how Obamacare killed somebody's grandma. Like, there's no connection to that stuff.
But let's be fair. Like, the majority of the time on YouTube where you get terrible comments, it's when there's somebody who's like non-white or a woman, and you have people that are just, you know, being terrible to those people.
Yeah.
Like, it is just kind of out and out, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it's necessarily, that's why I don't know if this is spread to the cats. I don't know if the poor cats are getting the brunt of this.
Yeah. Well, if it's anybody who isn't that demographic, like, I've seen ones, okay, so I've seen one where, like, what's the one where the kid's brother bit his finger?
Charlie bit my finger.
Okay, that video.
The top comment on that is, all you N-words need to get it down. It's not. That is not true.
No, but there are, like, vile, kind of semi-pedophilic comments in there where a guy will go, yeah, some horrible thing like that. And you go, oh, my gosh, this is... What it is then? So what you're describing is,
all pedophiles need to get out of town.
Anybody who is not a white, 210-pound jackass is a target on YouTube. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not that guy, then everyone else is a victim of whatever you say because you're a dick, right?
I mean, is that like? I guess we're trying to hone down on what it is.
Yeah.
And what my initial thing, if you're gonna say, okay, why are comments on The Blaze full of racists?
Yeah.
I would say, well, all right, if you look at where Glenn Beck's popular, you know, there's, you know, areas that, let's say, would be more prone to saying that Morgan Freeman is a N-word than if it were, let's say, in, you know, New York City, and people would say Morgan Freeman is a nice man who deserves yet another Oscar. But like, and that would, I mean, just like, you know, each region has its cross to bear for whatever reason, you know, the places where Glenn Beck is very, very popular, have to bear that there are some racist yahoos that are going to kind of ruin the party no matter what.
Sure.
YouTube, I would say, would be youth, you know, that it's, you know, the anonymity of the internet run wild with a very, very, very young audience that, you know, has never seen this kind of power before. And, you know, just is kind of drunk with it, that they can say, oh, wow, like I can get the attention of this person just by pointing out the color of their skin and some horrifying stereotype that my drunk uncle said at Thanksgiving 2 years ago. Mm. Like that's what I would guess. But it's not necessarily the same thing, because like you would, you know, we're making, and again, all of these are kind of stereotypes to a certain extent, but it's like we're using the stereotype that Glenn Beck's audience is from a place where there has been racial strife, right?
Yeah.
And we're using the stereotype that YouTube has a very, very young audience, although that's a little bit, both are quantifiable to a certain extent.
Sure.
But they're not the same.
Right. Right. Like I can get, if I put up a YouTube video and I get 100 comments, none of them are ever vile.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't ever have that. Because why? Because that nobody, the people none of the vile people care.
The people who come to look at your video are not going to be the same. Right, exactly.
Yeah, they don't care. And the people who do care are already kind of in the mix here. So in a weird way, I've created a naivete for myself on the internet. And every once in a while, I get that bubble burst and I'm reminded that there's a big, giant, angry, one-eyed troll out there trying to kill us all, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what that site did to me today. Just saw that and went, oh my gosh, what? This is about a piece of somebody's drawing and you're telling me that Morgan Freeman is part of a black conspiracy to take over the country and destroy everybody, and he's working in concert with Obama, and they have calls every night about how it's going? Like, that's what? You know? I thought it was just a nice drawing.
If Obama was in concert with Morgan Freeman, do you think that they'd play instruments?
No, I think he would just do voiceover for the whole thing. So he'd say,
that was the day. Do, yeah. Like, interpretive dance.
That's the day Barack found the dog poo in the den. What was he going to do?
So Barack would be, he'd be acting out like various things, and Morgan Freeman would be narrating them.
Yeah. This NSA thing's been real trouble for the president. He crawled through miles of shit and came out dirty on the other side.
Oh, this is great. And so he would just basically be kind of like a living version of the Hall of Presidents at Disney.
Yes.
Like, it would just be like Barack kind of like looking furrowed at his desk, and like the mood lighting comes down. Yep. And like, well, that was the toughest day he ever saw.
He ever saw that day. The worst day of his administration.
Watch a mile.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I would love that. That's a piece of that. And that would continue on with whatever... whatever mumbo jumbo we get next administration, we'll probably get, my guess is we'll get a Republican. It probably will be, I don't know who, but it'll be some up and comer, whatever.
Maybe Chris Christie,
yeah. Who I kind of like, by the way. I think he's all right. Anyway,
I really like in that Double Down book, they talk about the reason why Romney was a little wary to pick him. And part of it was because they were afraid, and it will surely come out when he runs for president, like the stuff that he's uploaded to his own YouTube channel, staying on the YouTube front.
Right.
Like, he's uploaded all of these videos of him getting into kind of heated discussions, I'm sure he will say, if not screaming arguments,
yeah,
with people in Jersey, like during various situations. Like, during tense situations, he'll go boots on the ground to places where people don't like him, and he will explain his position, mm-hmm, and not back down when they get, let's just say, for lack of a better term to describe the behavior, New Jersey.
Yeah. New Jersey-ish.
And there's one where he's like, he's calling a gay rights advocate who's interrupting him a numbnuts. And then he's like, he runs down somebody like on the boardwalk. But no, I think.
But wouldn't you prefer that over weird hidden meetings where you say things that are terrible, but you thought nobody was recording it? Wouldn't you prefer the Chris Christie method over that? I would.
Oh, listen, there's no guarantee that you know, Chris Christie wouldn't say something like Mitt Romney said, like the 47% thing. And I don't necessarily mean that in like a negative way, like he's also the devil. Like, I mean that, yeah, like, a lot of people in politics say a lot of things. Listen, when you're in a room where you can leave that room with millions of dollars,
yeah,
like for talking, you will probably find yourself talking pretty much however those people want to talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if all of a sudden somebody's like, well, I want to see you be president and I would like to commit $50 million to that cause.
Yeah.
Also, I like pink ponies. The next thing out of your mouth would be, and I believe that America needs to be strengthened with the pink ponies are the first of our problems. Forget war and poverty.
We need more power to the pink ponies.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So, I mean, like, what I think is different between Romney and Christie is that Romney would be able to discuss that in a way that I think would be better politically afterward than Romney was.
Yeah.
Romney was kind of like, well, I'm not worried about it. Or am I? I'm not sure.
Am I? Where should I be? Who am I talking to? Who are
I
you?
Wasn't talking about. Wait for the full tape to come out. And then the full tape came out, and it was him just like, you know, it was him saying the exact same thing, and then adding like, "Am I right?"
That's good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
no, I kind of like Chris.
What's what we do? Also, I like Chris. Fat. Yeah, he's fat. He's big, fat guy. That guy can put it away.
He's because he's fat and he's like, you know, that's a dude where like I've always kind of thought that there's two kinds of fat guys. There's like, and you can only go the two ways. You can either go really sad about the fact that you're fat and you let that affect your personality, or you go super high self-esteem.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it just like forges you in fire and you're the one who's like, you know, picking up chicks and being amazing.
It's an it's an East Coast thing, or maybe a Rob Ford thing in Toronto, but it's definitely an East Coast thing, don't you think? Like kind of a I don't ever see everybody is ridiculed in the West for being a huge guy, but over there it feels like you take pride in it. You eat three more pickles than anybody else did, and they pat you on the back for it. You're a regular everywhere. Like it's a party to be a fat guy.
Part of it's the snow. I think if you're a fat guy in a snowy city, then people are like, you know, I don't know what, maybe you're doing it right, bro. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you got that extra layer of blubber to keep you warm.
Exactly.
I'll try to remember that in about a month.
Trembling like chihuahuas, you know.
Dude, chihuahuas really are the one dog that seems to be never warm.
Oh, right. God, they're the worst.
They're great, man.
By the way, did you see that Rob Ford thing where he went to the Bills game, the Buffalo Bills game in Toronto, and stole some dude's seat, apparently?
Yeah, took a guy's seat. Is that? It's not the same night he tackled that lady or whatever, right?
No.
No, that was in a hearing.
This was Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. He's great, dude. He needs to never go away.
I know. It's going to be sad when he leaves office, now that his powers have been stripped away, he's just about left office. But
I just like he's in Canada.
He's such a source of great entertainment.
And I love that he's up there. So we can say things like, oh, Canada, what's going on? So I hate the stereotype. Today we won't do it because it's too long of a thing. But maybe next week when we get Jerry on, this would be a good topic. Talk about why Americans get all the fun stereotypes. How much of it is true and how much of it is just straight up bullcrap, like most stereotypes? I think that'd be a fun topic because I get irritated.
Like the fact that Glenn Beck's audience is racist.
Yeah, like that.
Basic premise of this cold cut.
Exactly. Like obviously we cannot blanket statement and say all Glenn Beck's followers and people who like him are flat out racist. They're not. There is no absolutes. And that's kind of, I guess, the point of this.
But we can say that 15% of his commenters are on the blades.
Well, you know, it's always hard to quantify because some guy can say the most horrible thing ever and it feels like he's a consensus everyone. And he's everyone, but he's not. He's like one guy and he lives in Iowa and here's my own stereotype of the guy. But, you know, I think that would be.
There's no doubt he lives in Iowa.
Sure. I think it'd be fun to talk about
you
stereotypes.
Hear that, Iowa?
Yeah. Take
Shots
that, Iowa.
Fired.
Yeah.
Full of racism.
One right over the bow. Great.
Good stuff. Well, Jerry, anything else going on in your life that you want to tell us about before we... The Santa book's doing well, yeah? We're excited about that.
I'll tell you what. And everybody but the Iowans can enjoy it.
Oh, racist
no,
pigs.
I love Iowa. Love Iowa. Big... Actually, I've never been to Iowa. But.
Really? With
never
all your traveling? You've never,
never
had
a go game in Iowa?
No, I think there was one in Des Moines.
Right. That's Sioux Falls. Yeah.
There was one in Des Moines this year, but I didn't get it. So maybe my travels will take me to Iowa.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
They'll look me right in the eye and say, you are the one who called us racist.
Jerry is driving among the majestic cornfields of Nebraska. Oh, that's Nebraska. Never mind.
Yeah, you're in a Sioux Falls reference to Nebraska reference. There's literally nothing of Iowa that we can think of.
No, I can't. Well, there's a Tumwa. We were talking about Radar from MASH earlier, and he was
Ames,
from there.
Iowa.
Ames. Is there a famous...
Kirk's from, right?
Oh, Kirk's from...
Oh, there.
No, Kirk's from... Wait. Is it Iowa or Ohio?
No, it's Iowa.
No, it's Iowa.
Okay.
It's Iowa.
It wouldn't be Ohio. Yeah. He's from Evanston, Ohio, just near Northwestern. That's where Captain Kirk grew up.
Yeah, but where in Ohio? Where in Iowa?
Attumwa. Oh. Nope, that's Radar.
One of my favorite moments in my young, you know, political upbringing is I remember once watching on like C-SPAN the Libertarian Party presidential nomination process, and this was like, you know, the Libertarian Party is, you know, kind of a loose collection of twigs and sticks that are kind of bound together by rubber bands and, you know, shown on a wall in shadow. So it makes it look like a real party, but it's really not.
So they
had like their delegation, and it's like, you know, they just have, it's basically just a bunch of people at a Holiday Inn somewhere, like coming up to a mic and saying who, you know, they're going to send their delegates to be president. And the guy from Iowa was, and God, I wish I could get the years right, but just, I'm just going to enter in the Excel formula where people who actually know this answer can just put in the appropriate number of years. It was like, the delegation from Iowa, home in blank years to Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
Oh, wow.
Delegates for blank.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's,
they invoked the fictitious character who was never from there.
The fictitious character, and said that, and correctly stated that he had yet to be born, that he would eventually be born in their home state.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's awesome.
I very much enjoyed that. And it just was like, wow, people who care about politics on that level are nerds.
Yeah.
They are nerds. They're
into it. That's fantastic. What a great memory. Never let that go. Never let that go.
No, I do love that.
People should go to GoHomeSanta.com, right?
GoHomeSanta.com. Here's the deal. Everybody, thank you so much for buying the book over the last couple of days. It's been really awesome. It's been very, very validating in a real way. Like it's kind of been sort of like a moment in my life where I've kind of realized like, hey, look, like it's like a Stuart Smalley. Like I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Yeah.
So it really beneath all the snark and, you know, barking internet dog boy facade. You made me very, very happy, everybody who's bought it. And if you haven't bought it, then go ahead and buy it. And you can also contribute to this warm, glowing feeling. However, there is a bit of a mission today.
Uh-oh.
The book is now available on Kindle.
Yeah.
Previously, you could only buy it on GoHomeSanta.com. As of today, it is available on Kindle. I want to have the number one holiday book.
I can't believe this. I cannot believe that you would want to somehow figure out a way to get on the top of some chart somewhere.
You
want to
game the system at Amazon yet again.
I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine it.
Listen, it's a brand new idea I have where everybody's going to buy the thing at once and we're going to fraudulently place ourselves amongst other great works.
Amazing.
All right. So here's the deal.
What can we do?
If you want to do it, then today at, we're going to say 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Just follow me on Twitter. If you want, if everybody buys it at that time, it's cheap. It's $2.99. Brian, you've listened to it, right?
I've listened to it, and I will happily pay for a copy to help you with this endeavor.
Yes.
By the way, that's 4 p.m. our time. By
4
the way.
P.m. our time.
Yep.
4 p.m. your time.
The only time zone that matters.
Right. Good point.
So we're going to try and rocket up the charts.
Yeah.
Like Rocket Raccoon.
Are you in Oakland today?
I am.
Oh,
I'm in California for an entire month. I don't get on a plane to fly somewhere else until January 3rd.
Oh, that's fantastic, dude. That's great.
Where are you going in January?
Oh man, my little brother's bachelor party.
Whoa!
And where's that going to be?
Orlando.
Oh, darn!
I was hoping you were going to say
Vegas because we're all going to be out there around that time.
Yeah, that would be cool.
No, well, we were going to do it in South Florida, but then Eric's friends would be able to go if we did it in Orlando. So it looks like we're going to do a little Disney bachelor party. And we are going to go to Epcot and get trashed and then stay on property. And I don't know. Then there's kind of a run pass option on whether or not there's going to be a stripper involved. But,
whoa, I can't wait to hear how this goes.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is
number
great.
One. Anybody who hasn't drank around the world at Epcot Let me just say, it's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, it's in fact, it's the most dangerous game.
Is it? Wow. So
that whole,
Ice-T was lying to me. It's
hunting
not
people. Yeah. Deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Cause by the way, that could involve that.
Ice-T? You know, oh, killing
once
man.
You
get,
people.
Once you get into the, once you, listen, you lap Japan a second time and you're like, oh, let's get some more sake after you've been drinking. You know, red wine in France.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Oh, God, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just say this. My little brother, for whom the bloodline runs strong in the antics between me and my little brother.
Yeah.
One of his famous stories is drinking around the world at Epcot and then swimming to the center of the lake.
In his own vomit. Epcot. Yeah.
And, you know, coming back and for whatever reason, escaping being kicked out.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that is about as a quick way to get ejected and a lifetime ban from Disney is to jump into their lake and swim to the center and touch their little globe thing in the middle.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah, no, both me and Eric have had hilarious blackout stories at Epcot. One time I got for Food and Wine Festival. Me and Ashley were there and I got really upset that we were both too drunk. Here, see if you can follow this logic for Scott, for somebody who is
does not drink. Yeah.
I thought we were too drunk. Mm. So I threw, like, halfway through a sip, it just a switch flipped. We were too drunk. So I threw my drink into the woods and then took Ashley's drink out of her hand and threw it away.
Oh, wow.
Because we were too drunk.
Yeah.
And then I started. Well, we decided to start running Doctor Who style because we had to go get somewhere, and I fell down and ripped open my jeans and skinned my knee, just like Doctor Who.
What is Doctor Who style? What does that mean?
You know, you did, like, Doctor Who is always like, run! And he's, like, grabbing his companion's hand. And
does,
like,
he do that, like, a lot? I still haven't watched. I haven't watched any of that modern stuff. I should.
You should be like, you should listen. I mean, granted, it took Belmont being cast to, you know, host the pre-show to actually start watching the show. But yeah. She seemed to like it.
Is she into it now? Is she all into it?
I mean, from what she told me, like, she was, I gave her a cheat sheet.
Oh, I see.
To prep.
Oh, that's great.
To prep for the show. And so she was, I was going back and forth with her as she was watching through stuff. But I'll tell you what, you watch Doctor Who, you realize one thing very, very quick, that there are only four shows in England.
Yeah.
And all the actors just do all of them.
They do everything. Yeah. I have noticed that lately.
It's like, did you ever see Extras?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that final finale when he kind of realizes that no matter what agent he has in England, there is only, like, EastEnders, Doctor Who, and, you know, two other shows that he could possibly do.
People that showed up on Spaced as extras or something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's about right. And they're all, and half of those people are now Downton Abbey actors as well.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. So you'll see all of them.
Well, I asked Veronica what the secret was to her successful stint as the BBC, you know, show intro thing that she did. And her answer to me was,
the key? Robot arms.
It's all about robot arms. She's still convinced that that's the way to go. So back to the point. Yeah, buy this book, guys. Go get it.
Buy the book. Follow me on Twitter. We're going to do a guided attack. It's going to be a fun time. And we'll see whether or not I can be a more thrilling holiday success than, I don't even know what the hell's on the thing. It's probably like, you know, Christmas the dog and his adventures to Mars or something.
That's wonderful. Well, that's good. Please do that, everybody. Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter, and you can catch him every week on a new episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Justin, take it easy. We'll see you later. Have a nice time. Bye now.
See you.
All right.
I should say, like, Scott Johnson is my bitch.
There you go.
Wow.
Thank you, Veronica. Miss Belmont, if you're nasty.
Bestsellers, Kindle books. Yeah, he's got to get past things like The Book Thief. George R. R. Martin's A Game of Thrones 5-book box set.
It's going to be rough.
Mockingjay. Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. But if anyone can do it, they've done this before.
They have. Yes.
They've totally screwed those guys over at, I mean, this is what happens. Like, Brian Brushwood will get it in his head that I'm going to get verified on Twitter no matter what it takes. and he'll figure out a way to game the system and get it. So he is life hacking everything, and Justin is like that too. They both are freaks that way. And we love them for it. All right. There you go. That's Justin Robert Young time. And that means the end of the show, everybody. We're done.
What?
No emails today. Emails tomorrow.
I looked away for a second and just disappeared.
I know. It's gone. It's it. It's out. I do want to thank everybody for being here. Everybody who came. Justin and Daryl and Bill and Scott Fletcher and his voice work. And, you know, musical help by various people and all that kind of stuff. Check us out at frogpants.com/TMS. Thanks to alphageekradio.com for the live stream of the audio from today's program. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. We'll read your emails on the show most days. And you can find us on Twitter, Morningstream Scott Johnson and Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go. Let's get out before tomorrow's big surgery. Everybody send your good vibes that my one eye will behave as like the last eye did, that everything will be fine, that it won't be a problem. No infections, nothing weird. And we'll try to do a show tomorrow, assuming I don't have surgery in the morning. So I'll keep you informed. Let's do a song to get us the hell out of here.
All right. This one is going out to Lon Koenig Schnago, who's sent us a bunch of Kit Kats and other sort of things. He and I are actually working on a trivia unit for the Battle of Frogpants All-Stars. We need to get back on that because I think we lost touch with it over the last couple of months. We need to pick it back up. Anyway, he says, I'm a huge fan of Pentatonix. He was in that sort of group in college. But going the opposite of a cappella are chiptunes. Let's see. One Game Boy running LSDJ plus proper post-production plus vocals. And this comes from a wonderful chiptune album. You can download it at dachip.com, D-A-C-H-I-P. Of course, it is a Daft Punk cover. It is a cover of, what is it, Digital Love. This is performed by Saber Pulse in one of the contributions to Volume 2 of the D-A-Chip or Dachip series. Spelling it out so people can go find it online. But they're both free downloads. You can get both albums as a free download. And they're, you know, they're hit or miss. I'd say, hey, for free, it's a great deal. And I'd say 70% of the stuff on here is really good. Digital Love by Saber Pulse.
All right. We're going to do this all again tomorrow. Hopefully we'll see you guys then. Thanks, everybody. Bye now.
Just a little fun. We were dancing all night long. The sun is strong. is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Do 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 do
do do do. I haven't heard that one in forever.